Peggy Orenstein is a contributing writer for The New York Times Magazine. She wrote an article for the magazine about a controversial cultural phenomenon in Japan, parasite singles. Orenstein told Anne Strainchamps what they are.
Parasite singles can be men or women, but it's generally used to describe women. And it's single women who are in their 20s and 30s, and they work, but they don't have careers. They earn about $30,000 a year, and they live at home. All their income is expendable. You know, they don't have to pay rent. Their mother cooks for them and cleans for them. And so they are both the driving force of the Japanese economy right now because they buy these luxury items like Louis Vuitton purses, and also one of the bigger problems in Japanese society, because if these women don't get married and have kids, Japan right now is the fastest aging society on the planet, and they're going to be in big, big trouble.
What does the term parasite refer to? And where did that phrase come from, parasite singles?
A parasite single was invented by a sociologist in Japan, and it referred to, it was actually just a movie called Parasite Eve, which sounds to me like it was kind of an Aliens ripoff. It was about an alien that fed off of its human host and then burst through its stomach. So the Japanese women that I met, they felt it was a fairly insulting phrase they didn't care for it too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. So does the phrase suggest that Japanese culture in general thinks of these women as parasites somehow?
There was a lot of negative press on young women when I was there, and they were starting to rankle because what they would say to me is, hey, look, you know, we didn't create the situation in Japan. And the Japanese press seemed to find these women very spoiled, very decadent, a kind of hangover from the bubble economy. But looking at them from the outside, I saw something else. And what I felt was, on one hand, they were a kind of passive protest against what was going on in the culture, that on one hand, they didn't want to be Japanese wives and mothers. They didn't want to take on traditional roles, and you couldn't really blame them when you thought about the rigidity of what it meant to be a Japanese wife and mother. On the other hand, they didn't really want to go along a career track because that meant becoming more like a Japanese man, and that role was incredibly rigid too. And I felt like there was a kind of interesting standoff going on that maybe, you know, the government could go two ways on the parasite single issue. Either they could put out a lot of propaganda to try to get women to get married and have babies again, which, you know, is a strategy and could work, or they're going to have to make the workplace and home life more accommodating for both women and men.
So tell me more about some of these young women. Do they have a uniform look, a style? How does one recognize them?
Oh, well, it would depend on when you were in Japan. You know, Tokyo styles change so quickly, but whenever you saw them, they would be at the height of whatever the style was. When I was there, it was sort of a mix of Uniqlo t-shirts, which is sort of the Japanese version of the Gap, with expensive accessories. Everybody, the one constant was that they all had Louis Vuitton purses, but you kind of see that across the board with women in Japan. It's very important to have your Louis Vuitton purse.
So these women look young, elegant, beautiful, rich?
All of the above. You know, when I was there, they all had dyed their hair a kind of reddish brown. They were in their 20s and their 30s. They were fashionable, and they were having a huge amount of fun. I have to say, as a woman myself, hanging out in Japan with Japanese women was incredibly fun.
What was fun about it?
Well, they're always doing things. You know, they were going out to movies. They were going out to dinner. They were going to spas for the weekend. And because the cultures of men and women tend to be rather separate, there was a real community of women. And it was really nice to hang out with my Japanese female friends. And it's not a couples culture. And a lot of times the Japanese women I would interview would feel that it was sort of odd how much time American couples spend together and the emphasis we put on the couple to sort of fulfill all our emotional needs.
What is it they don't like about the whole marriage and children scenario that they seem to be rejecting?
Well, you know, their mothers often spoke very negatively of it to them, that they felt very stultified by marriage and motherhood, that once you get married, you have to stay home, your whole life is focused on your children, you don't have that much fun anymore, your income, your expendable income drops significantly. It just didn't seem appealing to them, and their mothers were not encouraging that.
Would you call this a feminist movement then?
I would call it a kind of unconscious feminist movement or an unintended feminist movement. None of them would call themselves feminists. None of them were advocating or promoting feminism in any way. But I think what they were doing was a kind of passive resistance. So I don't know. You know, I noticed that there were magazines that were starting to come out that were promoting motherhood as fashionable, where the women in the magazines were mothers, but they were wearing really fashionable clothes, and they were trying to make motherhood look more appealing. So it's possible, you know, that it will go that direction. Or it's possible that the government will start, you know, making more childcare, that companies will start making shorter hours, that that sort of thing could happen. You know, I don't really know what direction this is going to go.
So what did these young women say when you asked them why they chose this lifestyle?
You know, when I would talk to them, the one phrase that they would repeat over and over was, I want to live for myself and enjoy my life. And I kept saying, well, what does that mean? It just seemed, you know, what does that mean? It means nothing. But I began to think after a while that, you know, for us as American women, we build our lives from this idea of self-determination. And in Japan, for centuries, you know, women were supposed to be, the phrase was good wives and wise mothers. They were bound to the ie, or the family as institution. And so for them to just even say, I want to live for myself and I want to enjoy my life, that in itself is sort of a radical statement, regardless of where it leads them.
You said that, there's a particular word that's used to describe these women that you wrote about. I'm not going to say it right. Wagamama?
Wagamama. Wagamama. Isn't it fun to say? Wagamama.
What does it mean?
It's actually why I picked up on it, because I don't speak Japanese. I was working through an interpreter a lot of the time, and I kept hearing wagamama, and it, you know, it was such a funny word to an American ear that I sort of seized on it. It literally means something akin to selfish, and that's the word that is, you know, these young women are said to be wagamama. And it used to be really a vile insult to a Japanese woman to be called wagamama. It was pretty much, you know, it was a really bad, bad thing to be. But what I found was that women were sort of taking it on as a term of defiance a little bit. And they would sort of say, yeah, you know, I'm wagamama. And the magazines were saying things like, restaurants for the wagamama you. Or I actually walked by a building that said wagamama. It was in 10 stories written vertically in English letters. And so they were taking it on to me kind of choosy or self-determining in this kind of defiant way. And I would sometimes, I started saying to women in my interviews, so are you wagamama? And they would sort of startle and look a little appalled. And then they would kind of smile and laugh and say, you know, I am. Maybe I am wagamama. And, you know, maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Is the government concerned about the growth of the parasite singles?
They're concerned about the economy in general. And there was, before I got there, apparently there was a campaign that they launched for a little while in the subways and such to try to get women to get married. But, you know, what they've done is they've increased the child allowance. They've tried to do it that way, in a kind of passive way. And female politicians like Mariko Bando, who's been a longtime activist and politician in Japan, said, you know, that's not going to do it. The only thing that's going to do it is pushing for more equality, is making more childcare, is making the workplace more accessible, is making family life and family roles less rigid. This business of just offering greater child subsidies to kind of bribe women to go back in the home, that's not going to work. Also, there's incredible taxes on women or a second wage earner if they work outside of the home, so that precludes that too.
Peggy Orenstein reported on parasite singles for the New York Times Magazine. She spoke with Anne Strangechamps.